Hey, welcome to the Successful Songwriter Within podcast. I'm your host, Lisa McEwen. I'm a Nashville published songwriter and recording artist. In this podcast, I'm here to help take you from intimidated, anxious, insecure, and frustrated to self-assured, prolific, and successful with your songwriting abilities. I've written with Grammy Award-winning writers, had numerous cuts and placements, but it wasn't long ago that I was an anxious, insecure songwriter, afraid to speak up during co-writes and feeling not worthy enough to fulfill my dreams. I created Music and Mindfulness because here's where I was at. I knew how to write a song, but what I was lacking was the inner confidence and intuitive connection. Once I started applying mindfulness techniques to my music life, everything changed. And now it's my mission to help you on your musical journey. If you're ready to tap into and align with your inner genius, go to my website, musicandmindfulness.co, for a free tutorial where I show you how to do just that. So stick around, because I got tips, back pocket techniques, stories, interviews, and more. You ready to get where you're going? Let's do it. Hey, are you tired of releasing new music, spending all your time and your money and pouring your heart into it, only to find that no one is really listening? Besides your mom, of course. Listen, I get it. I have been there too. And I've learned through trial and error that there are a few simple solutions. Solutions, yes, to getting your music heard when it comes to releasing that song that you put your heart and soul into making. All you have to do is go to musicandmindfulness.co/single. That's musicandmindfulness.co/single to download my free guide on how to skyrocket your next release, plus my bonus email templates. Now let's get to the show. Hello, hello. It is so good to be back. It is so good to be back. It is a new year and a new season, and it's always exciting to take the time to kind of look back and reflect, and also to try to figure out what we want to do, you know, when we hit that reset button on a new year. So that got me to thinking, you know, what does it mean to take the time to recharge and reset? Well, I think it's different for everyone, but for me, it really feels like taking time away from what I might do on a normal day, you know, away from my expectations and diving into other things that might also bring me joy, but, you know, that I don't really take the time to discover. Things that can sometimes feel like a means to an end, for example, doing laundry or planning out meals, you know, rather than rushing through them because I want to get on with my workday. When I take time to recharge, I like to do these things to see how I can feel relaxed while I'm doing them. Does that sound totally crazy? Like, who does laundry to relax? But I think everyone has different ideas of what fills their cup when it comes time to recharge. I realized leading up to the holidays that it had been way too long since I'd read a book of fiction, for example. You know, it's just something for fun. I hadn't been in the mood for that kind of reading because my to-do list was too long to get around to doing it. And whenever I'd sit down to read, I would feel guilty, like there was something else more productive I could have been doing. And you know what I did over the holiday? I read two really fantastic and super cheesy Christmas fiction novels, and it was awesome. So did you catch that five-letter G word that I happened to slip in there? Guilt, yes. That big word carries some intense emotions and a lot of very heavy baggage along with it. Now, I know I can't seem to relax and unwind very often because I notice that it just makes me feel guilty. You know, this is what goes through my head. Why am I sitting reading when I could be, you know, fill in the blank, working on lyrics, writing a melody, working on music and mindfulness content, posting content on social media, reaching out to new contacts, following up with old contacts, setting up a co-write. Oh, wait, not to mention the other things that I said before, like doing laundry, preparing meals, or, you know, gift wrapping my kids' lunches with bows and smiley faces like Sally down the street. Ah, you know, it seems to spiral out of control. I think we all suffer from this, especially in our culture where more is more. It's always do more, be more, achieve more, go, 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 enough is not enough. I feel that a lot. I'm going to be totally honest with you and tell you that this is a huge struggle for me. I never feel like I'm doing enough, and whenever I'm juggling all the balls in the air, I feel like I'm always on the verge of dropping one, and yet at the same time, I feel like I don't have enough balls in the air. The struggle is definitely real, but here's what I don't think we tend to shed enough light on. When we take time to recharge, I know this for myself anyway, we can actually accomplish more in the long run. Is the risk of rest worth the reward? Let's get into that a little bit. Have you ever heard the term alignment? The definition goes something like this. Arrangement in a straight line or in correct or appropriate relative positions. Okay, so there's a technical term for it, right? Now let's think about driving. When your steering wheel is in proper alignment, you hold it in its natural neutral position and it drives you in a straight line. And when your steering wheel is out of alignment when you're driving, your steering wheel is still in that natural position that you're holding it, but your car is driving you off to the side of the road because it's out of alignment. Now, I use the word alignment more so in relating to my daily life and how I feel. If you've ever listened to Abraham Hicks or Jess Lively or any other person who likes to dive into the law of attraction and manifestation, they talk about the word alignment as sort of a vibrational balance. For example, Abraham Hicks suggests you don't tackle anything in your day until you're in alignment, because when you're in a higher place, vibrationally speaking, in turn, everything else is just going to work out smoother. So let's use this as an example, all right? Let's just say your co-writer was waiting on you to write some lyrics to a bridge in a song that you've both written together. And you said you'd have them done by the end of the day. There's that deadline. And now you're banging your head against the wall because you just can't seem to come up with anything great. And in the meantime, you're starting to feel worse and worse about yourself. Rather than forcing yourself to sit and stare at the page or plunking melodies at, let's say, the piano or your guitar, when you're completely not feeling it, you know, sometimes that just doesn't seem to work. Instead, Abraham Hicks suggests that you get into alignment first. So how would you do that in this situation? Well, first, ask yourself, what do I really feel like doing right now? Do you actually feel like grabbing a coffee and journaling? Maybe in a coffee shop or just sitting on the couch and watching Seinfeld reruns? Do that first until you feel like you're in a really great feeling place, and then sit down to write those bridge lyrics and see what happens. They will more than likely flow out much easier. Now, this is the thing. There's some debate going on here, and I can hear it in my head, and I can actually hear it in yours. Kidding. But I'm sure you're sitting there thinking, Lisa, if I sat around watching Seinfeld reruns and eating bonbons all day and night, I hardly think that I'd get anything accomplished, never mind getting that bridge written. Okay, there's a part of me that struggles with this too. But I think if you really listen to yourself and really hear what it is that you need, I mean, pushing aside your ego and resistance, you can really benefit from this kind of practice. When you start tackling projects with that feeling of like, ugh, I have to get this done, even if I hate every minute of it, typically nothing seems to good, you know, come of it that's any good. But when you come at it from a really joyful, really good feeling place, the end result seems almost magic. As I said before, I'm really bad at relaxing and even worse at taking naps. But when I'm really feeling tired, and if I really listen to my body and lay down even for a short while, I really feel a lot better and can tackle whatever it is that I've set out to do. You know, if your schedule permits this, but there is ways around that too. I could talk about that a little bit more later. But the whole idea is alignment before action. Now, I mentioned the word resistance before as well, right? So what's this resistance I speak of? Okay, so resistance for me would be that voice in my head as I sit and watch Seinfeld reruns that says, you know, even when I was talking about when I sit down to read, there's all this resistance. So this is the voice saying you're only doing this because you don't think that you have what it takes to write a great bridge. You're avoiding it. You're coming up with every excuse in the book not to sit in front of that piano and let your genius flow. I think we have all been there where we felt that resistance, right? It's that thing that's telling you you're avoiding it and all that kind of thing. You know what I'm talking about. There's a difference between procrastination and getting into alignment. You see, there's a reason I get up really early and I do my coffee, my reading, reflecting, and working out and all those things before anyone in my house is up. I mean, I was never really a morning person. I've mentioned this on previous episodes, but I do all that because it gets me into alignment for the day. And when my head is on straight or I feel aligned, I can really perform better at all the tasks that I need to do that day. So is there some tiny space that you can get, you know, each day that you can get into alignment? Some people don't even know what fills them with joy. That's the thing too. So maybe they've got time in their day or they can carve out a few minutes, but they don't even know what they would do that would bring them joy to get them into alignment. So take a few minutes, make a list, whatever makes you happy. I mean it, like an actual physical list. You can write it in your phone or write it on a piece of paper. Even the silliest, smallest things like looking through old photos or playing solitaire or, you know, phoning a random friend to say hello, just connecting with someone, or eating chips while watching Netflix documentaries, whatever it is, really dig deep and make a long list and refer to it when you need a little mood alignment or a mood boost. All right, so let's get back to recharging. Why do we feel bad for doing the simple things that are fulfilling us when in actuality, they are preparing us for success? It could be a lot of things. Maybe you grew up in a household where it was looked down upon or seen as lazy to do things that weren't keeping you on a track to achievement. Our culture has become an achievement culture. A quick Google of achievement culture, and this is what I came up with. In his book, Excellent Sheep, an author, William, I don't know how to say his last name, it's DERESIEWICZ, he describes the current generation of strivers as driven to achieve without knowing why. And then they become paralyzed when they're not sure how to proceed. Another quote from the same author goes like this: "You won't be able to recognize the things that you really care about until you have released your grip on all the things that you've been taught to care about." So are your achievements on autopilot? I really believe a lot has to do with how influenced we are by social media these days. Last month, I took a long stretch of time of going about my business without checking on Instagram or whatever it was. But when I'd pop in there and start scrolling, and that was totally out of habit, right? More than actual curiosity or trying to accomplish something, I found myself immediately feeling bad because I was missing out on something or not achieving enough that day. Now, I think a lot of us use those sorts of things, the social media, for inspiration, right? We see others, they're doing more, they're being more, and we're so inspired. And depending on my mood, I do the exact same thing. But when I spent an entire day not working on my business, I immediately felt bad, like I wasn't doing enough as soon as I saw someone posting about an accomplishment. So it really made me wonder, like, what would my day look like if I didn't have these social media outlets to keep checking? You know, like the olden days. I can't even remember what that was like, which is so crazy. You know, no unnecessary distraction and instead just doing things based on how one felt from within, not feelings that had to be sought out from the outside. What I try to do now, try is the key word here, folks, is rather than checking social media by habit, I ask myself, why am I going on here? And then I pause for just a second. If I don't go into my account with a clear intention, I get sucked down the rabbit hole. And I've talked to many people, and it's all the same, you know, all of a sudden an hour has gone by. It's like, what did I just do? I didn't even do the thing that I came on here to do. Try to pause, get into a clear headspace before you scroll if you think that you'd really benefit from this kind of practice and feel recharged. Here's something else that took me way too long to learn. You know that saying, I have too much on my plate? Well, everyone has a different sized plate. What the heck do I mean by that? Well, everyone can handle different amounts on their plates because everyone has a different size. So let me explain. There's someone I admire in the music industry and I have for many years. She's a mother and a very successful artist, a songwriter as well, and a businesswoman. She blows me away with her accomplishments. And I've watched her over the years, and I've taken note as to how she could be so successful, juggle it all, and achieve so much. As I got to know her over the years, I learned that she can function on very little sleep. She can push through a lot of emotional things that I just know that I couldn't. And she stays laser focused on projects, working away tirelessly. I tried to do the same thing for a while because I was so inspired by her. But in the end, I found that I just could not. I need more sleep to function. My quote unquote full day would likely look half empty to her. But that's okay because she has a bigger plate and she can handle more. And my plate maybe is a little smaller in comparison, but mine is probably bigger than other people's in comparison too, right? So we are all different. When we start to compare, that's when it all starts to go downhill, in my opinion. If I give my all in a day, I don't want to feel like it wasn't enough just because other people with other circumstances seem to accomplish more. Now, when you do get still, do you know how big your plate is and what you can handle? Just do that. Don't worry about what others can handle on their plates. Take a moment and ask yourself what it takes for you to feel overwhelmed. Do you find yourself in that overwhelming place more often than not? Is there something that you can take off your plate so that you can give more love, more time, more attention to the other things on your plate and enjoy them more? Speaking of room on my plate, I actually just had a falling out with a friend over the holidays. In a nutshell, she had higher expectations of our friendship than I could give, and I am totally okay with that. I really wish her well, but I only have so many hours in my day, and what works for me in a friendship apparently doesn't work for her. I'm okay to go a long stretch without talking with friends and reconnecting again when time permits, as if no time has passed, and just catching up. But she needs more consistent connection, and that's okay. I just can't give that in my life right now. So we parted ways. Hitting the reset button can mean a lot of things, and I didn't see the end of this friendship coming, but I can tell you this. I am definitely at peace with it because I know going forward that my energy is best spent giving it to the rest of the things on my plate. Are there things in your day-to-day that are sucking your energy and you aren't even realizing it? The start of a new year is always a good time to reflect on the past year and see what things in your life could use a little nip-tuck. It can be painful and hurtful, but growing pains often do. I also cut out a few side hustles that I had going, and that was also really difficult because I see the good in a lot of things. I like to go, go, go. I could justify anything. But when I really got still and I asked myself deep down, I said, is this sucking energy or giving energy? The answer was really clear. So I closed my eyes and pulled the proverbial plug. And after a few days of sitting with the sadness and, you know, those feelings of letting go, I got over it. Now I feel great about all those decisions. The hustle and bustle of the holidays is like revving up a machine. And it goes and it goes and it goes full throttle until we basically crash into the new year feeling tired and full and hungover, maybe a little bit overspent in more ways than one, right? And then there's this little lull afterward. Like we all need a little push from behind to get going again. That's okay too. Take that time to shake off any guilt and really ask yourself what you need to recharge your batteries. What do you need this season to really, really be your best, healthiest, most fulfilled self? Once we figure this out, we can give our absolute all to our loved ones, our music, our community, and everything just seems to fall into place. So let's recap. The things that you can do to reset and recharge for the new year. Here we go. Number one, cut the guilt. It is okay to do some small things that you enjoy in order to get ahead. Number two, step into alignment. Alignment before action. Let's try to remember that. Make your alignment mood boost list and refer to it often. Number three, evaluate the size of your plate. And if it's full, ask yourself if there's some things that you can do to have the right sized amount on your plate so that you can thrive. The easiest way to do this is to ask yourself, is this sucking energy or giving energy? If you haven't already, I hope you allow yourself to recharge and reset in whatever way works for you. I am thinking of you all. I hope you stay inspired and know that I'm rooting for you every step of the way. I'm sending you all my love and good vibes for 2022.